Welcome to the Theme Park Shuffle. This is your DJ Logan here. Scratch that, guys. I'm just kidding. Not DJ Logan, but I am here with my boys, Jeremy Jer Bear Stein and David the King King. And what we're bringing you guys today in honor of music is a little bit of a mashup. So today's challenge is the Disney Universal Mashup Challenge. So for those of you who follow the Main Street Magic, you saw the shuffle where we decided who was awarded which park, and the results were David with Animal Kingdom, Jeremy with Epcot, and Logan with Universal Studios Florida. And so today we're going to pitch our different concepts of our mashups. And the way it works is the park we're awarded, that we have to choose one attraction from that park and then mash up and retheme it using the competitor's IP. So therein lies the challenge. So for this particular episode, you'll have both David and Jeremy working with a Disney park, but a Universal IP. And then I will be working with a Universal park and a Disney IP. And then at the end of the episode, we will shuffle to find out who gets what for the next round, where once again, it'll be two Disney parks and one Universal park. So we'll see how it all happens. But guys, with this particular challenge, did you find it challenging? What was your sort of your initial thought when this challenge was pitched?
So I'll just lead off for me real quick. My hardest part, and I steered away from it, was thinking of the World Showcase and culturally what IPs could potentially fit in there from Universal. And then I started to think about space and flying and those types of things. So I think when we get to mine might be predictable, but I hope that I'm going to go ahead and create something that would be fun and exciting off a very popular, I would say, Universal IP. So, yeah, I did find it very challenging, though, as I tried to steer away from the World Showcase. David?
What was challenging for me is it's rather obvious what is going to fit at Animal Kingdom. And I tried so hard to not do it. I looked in every nook and cranny of past Universal, current Universal, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it's good to go with what's directly in your face. Yeah. So I did find it a little hard, but you know, it's fun and hopefully you guys like it.
So you went with SpongeBob SquarePants, obviously.
you know what? That was legitimately, I was halfway through my one I was doing, and I ironically was sitting on the floor of the playroom with my daughter, and she has SpongeBob figures, and I'm like, ooh, yeah. I just didn't think it fit Animal Kingdom.
And that. It's not a Universal property.
Well, they have them in stores and they do stuff with it.
But
well, then I hope mine is. I get so confused sometimes on what actually checks out as an IP.
He did Care Bears again.
I did Care Bears again. Yeah.
Definitely don't own Care Bears. Yeah, I found that for my particular park and my IP, I wanted to go with an IP from Disney that was used, but used in a way that I felt was not the best representation of the IP. So this was kind of, I looked at this as a chance to, if Disney could start over and really make something with this IP, what would they use? What attraction would they use from this park to bring an entirely new life and story to the particular IP? So I'm real curious to hear not only what you guys created, but also what you think of what I've thrown together. But
we've teased it enough. Let's roll.
Well,
let's
do this. All right. Well, yeah. So we decided beforehand I was going to start. And honestly, Logan, that's the exact same thing I did. Is I took something that I thought Universal Studios did not represent well enough. While it's a newer ride, I think it is horribly, horribly done, and it is kind of a joke. I see you smiling, and I feel like you know what it is, and I'm going with Fast and the Furious. and I know that's tough because we have a storied franchise that is beloved by many, whether they actually love it for what it is or they love it for it just being kind of silly and enjoyable in a blockbuster manner. Fast and the Furious Supercharged over at Universal Studios is not great, considering when it came around, it was only not that long ago, a couple years ago. It's kind of a little bit of a copycat in a sense from Skull Island, which we have recently rethemed. And I just don't think they did it well. I think they went with the over the top cheesiness that, while it works on a big screen while you're there eating popcorn and having a Coke, is done very well, I don't think it works in the ride aspect. So what I want to do with Fast and the Furious in Epcot is I want to go back to the beginning. And we are going to obviously retheme Test Track.
Woo!
Yeah.
And we are going to turn this into the Fast and the Furious Red Line. And I'm going to give a shout out to my good Scottish brother, Gary, who came up with the name Redline, because I did pass a couple ideas across with him, and he said Redline would be perfect. I'm like, that's great. So we're going to retheme Test Track, but this is going to be based off more of the original Fast and the Furious movie, because you're going to basically be trying out for Dom's team of bandits, robbers, family, whatever you want to call it.
Family.
And you're going to have to beat out some other competitors.
Got to go down an octave. Family.
Family.
I think Logan got it.
I did.
Yes, there you go. And so you're going to basically, the essential of the story is that you're going to have to beat out two other competitors in a street race to see who is the best driver, so that you can join Dom's team to start to steal, 13-inch TVs with built-in VCRs and laser disc players, I guess. So we're going a little bit old school, which kind of fits in with a little bit of that theme of Epcot at that point, as we bring in Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which has an original story of the early 80s and Peter Quill as he visited Epcot, all that good stuff. We'll save that for another episode. So the outside, I don't think, needs a major change. We're going to get a beautiful Fast and the Furious, style sign and entry to the queue. We're going to probably have some cars maybe out front. But really, once you enter the queue, you're going to go around and you're going to first enter through the diner and you're going to see Mia. Now, I try to think of some of these things. LED, I think, is just such an easy way to go with some of these layered LED screens. But I think you can still create a really good atmosphere, unless you want to go live actors and cast members, which can sometimes get difficult. And I do love that part about Supercharged. I think the live actors in the beginning, pre-shows are really well done. But I think I'm going to go with some of those layered LED screens with the actual actors from Fast and the Furious. So you're going to walk in first through the diner as you encounter Mia, and she's letting you know, oh, hey, you're here to try out. Go ahead into the auto parts store, which is going to be next. You're going to see there Jesse, Vince, Johnny. Of course, they're going to be, kind of ribbing you oh, hey, here's the new guy. Here's the newbie. What does he know about cars? But from there, you and Jesse are going to lead into the room where you get to create your vehicle, which we already have on a digital screen. The difference here is I want this to be realistic in a Fast and the Furious realistic, which is still a little insane the way that they did these cars. But we're not getting these giant tires and these crazy bodies and colors. Let's go ahead and create these kind of muscle race cars legitimately. And I'd love to see a picture in picture where, as you select different options of your car based on speed and agility and turning radius and whatever else, Jesse's kind of that picture in picture helping you along the way, maybe. And it could be different for each person that is creating their car at the point. So we get our car and we're going to walk out and we're going to get ready to head to what we believe is the street race. We're going to get in the car. We're going to street race. Along that way is a good time to have a little bit of the extension of the garage, right? But at the same time, we've got on screens Dom telling you, here's the deal. You know, we need a new recruit. You're coming into this. Want you to go ahead and build the best and fastest car so you can outrun your competitors. And if so, you'll be able to join our team, and there's going to be a great reward in there for you. So as you get ready to get in your car and you're heading to the race, you come up around that little corner where the cast members are telling you to check your seatbelt. But these aren't cast members. This is the LAPD, right? And they're a little suspicious. So not only are they telling you to check your seatbelt, but there's been an occurrence of robberies in the area that they want to question you and talk to you about. And here you are in this muscle car, so you're obviously a little bit suspicious. You snap that seatbelt and you take off because you have to now evade the LAPD. What I'd like to see, excuse me, as you go through these areas is that we've now changed all this dark, you know, weird neon interior of Test Track. We're actually going to change this to a outdoor LA scene. But as we're going to go through this entire process, I'm going to say it now, you're going to start to see the atmosphere around you change as the sun sets, you know, turns a little bit time into dark because nobody's going to street race in the day. So the ultimate, you know, endpoint has to be dark time street race. You're going to be able to evade the police through different twists and turns. The original off-road test area gives a perfect drifting scenario as you're turning corners and getting away from the LAPD. As you go through the old, that air efficiency test, you know, when you're sitting in the test track car and you look to the side and it like looks like air is coming over your head and it's like, oh, your vehicle's, you know, efficient and it's aerodynamic. Instead, I want this to mimic not only the soundtrack above you, which is playing probably, I guess we wouldn't be at Ludacris at this point, but I guess Ja Rule, right? As you're going through that, I want to see these screens on the side turn what looks like a slow-mo scenario. Music, everything slows down as you're coming around this corner and going through this slow-motion area to try and outrun the police. At that point, you come around the corner, and you're going to come face-to-face, not a truck, but that SWAT van, as it comes directly towards you, and you know, turn right around it to the right as the sun is slowly setting, and at that point, you're able to escape the LAPD. So finally, you're going to come into the street race, and I know this is where I would love to hear from Logan on other ways to do this. Because I'm relying heavy on LEDs and all. As you come through, you're getting ready to go to that outside door as you're going to race your competitors. But we're not going outside. We're going to cover this entire track with an LED tunnel that will mimic the night of LA in a street race, the buildings, everything, with a car on either side of you that is racing you to the final showdown to see who will win. Cool thing about this is you can change opponents. So you could go several times. You could maybe have a little different opponents. You know, they're probably talking smack. The cars will change. The colors will change. Maybe the people that are watching you can change. And you're going to come around, and at that final straightaway, you're going to win as you most likely kick in the NAS because we've got to have that, right? There's so much that. So
gotta have the NAS.
You're going to kick in. You're going to win that final race on the straightaway while these LED tunnels surround you with the competitors and fans around you. As you get out, again, we have a wall of cheering fans, and you get to exit through the garage, which currently has all the Chevrolet models that you can go sit in. But this is going to be some of the best muscle cars and everything from the Fast and the Furious series. You know, maybe we have some cardboard cutout meet and greet style things with Dom and everybody else. Here's my favorite part. As you exit the gift shop, which of course is filled with Fast and the Furious gear and all kinds of good stuff. The Cool Wash, which is right out there, is like a little beverage stand. You get like frozen sodas, whatever. This has been converted to a kiosk with an open grill that is serving burgers, hot dogs, and obviously Corona beer with a lime, and there's picnic tables surrounding it so that you can go ahead and gather as family.
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 I'm not even going to try, David.
We can't get it.
Don't worry.
Logan's got it, man. Logan's got it.
So good. Jeremy, I wish it really existed. This is the Fast and Furious attraction that people deserve.
Yeah.
So this is, the Velociraptor, Velocicoaster type speed needs to be involved somehow. But this is great because it really builds off of story and it follows the original story, sort of takes you back, gives you a purpose of being there, which again is such an important part of the attraction itself and how they had to sort of figure out what they were going to do after they got rid of the crash test dummies and why are people going in here and that whole story change. But your story approach works really well. And I love the idea too of just taking that and what could, there's part of Test Track is just kind of like, this is kind of boring. This is kind of lame. But if you add more scenic in there where it really feels like you're drifting around a tight turn and you're really close to hitting things and there's environment all around so you don't just see around the corner, it could really, really, really help to give it a more immersion, give it a bigger thrill factor. And your idea of having that LED tunnel at the end with an actual race, that sounds insane and I love it.
Is that something that could work?
That would totally work.
Yeah,
it could work. The only thing that could, because there is something weird that happens when you have motion, like high speeds, and then you've got something following along. Now they've already done something similar to that with the Incredicoaster, mm-hmm. where they've got the tunnels now, and they have elements that play throughout it. It's not a full-on like LED tunnel, I don't think. I'd have to watch a video to see. I don't remember off the top of my head. But I know they got characters and I believe they do have some animation that takes place within those tunnels. But it could certainly happen. And it's just one of those things where sometimes when you've got an attraction where having speed, having drops, things like that, if you add all CG and you kind of take away the reality of it, a couple of things can happen. Either A, it's going to make it feel much faster than it actually is, which could be a good thing. Or it could actually make it feel less real and make you feel less fast in the same way that sometimes when roller coasters use VR on them, it actually ruins the experience.
Yeah.
Because the thrill of a roller coaster is you see how high you are. It's one of those things where the anticipation of seeing what's coming next or not seeing what's coming next, not seeing the track, you're on a track, but not seeing it. There's all these sort of elements that really build the anticipation and anxiety and fun of riding a coaster that when you put a VR headset, you remove all of that, which can sometimes, if the video is done really well and you don't lose connection while riding, can improve and enhance. But the reality is, if it's a good coaster, you don't need any of those gimmicks.
Right. Yeah, totally.
But I would love to see Test Track with an LED tube. Oh my gosh,
that'd be
killer. Even if you just did it like a certain part to kind of like the initial boost, and then you even had it to where maybe there's walls or something where then it's a race to see who can get to the opening first. And then you win and they stay behind, kind of thing, like a game of chicken or something.
Yeah.
What's awesome about this is, first off, I want to feel the NOS kick in. Like, if they do that right and you can actually like feel that jump going back into your seat when that happens, that would be so much fun.
Yeah.
But the ability to design your own muscle car, not like a futuristic whatever Test Track is, but like, so I'm a diehard Dukes of Hazzard fan, and if I can drag race a 70 Charger that looks like the General Lee,
all right,
dude, I mean,
it's in.
Minus the flag on the top.
Yes.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's in though. That's in my design.
Your rewrite ability on this thing is amazing because say you don't win the drag race one time, you're going to want to ride it again to see if you win the drag race. And that's it seems like you'll have a different experience every time.
Could you see that? That's actually a great point. Could you see that being where you don't win?
Yeah.
I never even actually didn't think of that. I just figured you win. You're the hero. That's a great point.
Well, I mean, that's part of the way Test Track currently is right now is, you know, based on how you design your car or truck or whatever vehicle you design, based on how you, the choices you make, it then determines your score and whether or not you, you know, quote unquote, win. So yeah, it could totally be the case, like David was saying, where depending on the muscle car and the additions that you add to it, you may not, you know, you may win, let's say, the part where you keep going past everybody, but you don't win the drag race that is virtual.
I mean, if you have a drift part in there and you have a drag race part in there, maybe your car is more designed for drift. So you are successful on that part, but you're going to get blown out of the water in a drag race, which gives you an even better layer of like, oh man, I won drift. Now I want to win drag race. How do I design my car to, or could I design it to win both? I mean, it's, you could have people coming back 10 times over to try to,
I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's a great addition. That's why I love what we do here. Like, I love the input.
Collaboration.
Like, it's awesome. Yeah, that's why we'll be creating our entire own theme park here very, very soon. So, yeah, no, that's
it's a collaboration of imagination.
Yes, it. Oh, ooh, that sounds like a series. I mean, I guess that's this whole show, but that's a good one.
Is that a catchphrase?
That is a good one. I'm going to note that. I'm going to put that on a shirt, maybe. I don't know. Let me see here. I'm just pretend like I'm
he's writing. He's writing, everyone.
It's going down.
Collaboration of imagination. All right, I got it.
Trademarked.
Done.
I think he just gave me the David Letterman fake right.
That's actually how my writing really looks. I'll never know what it means tomorrow. But we have this now forever to listen to and come back wonderful collaboration of, what was it, imagination? Yeah, that was it. Okay, yes. I got you.
You wrote it down. You should know.
I got you, bro. All right.
Well, man, I'm a huge fan of that. That's one of my favorite things you've done.
Thank you.
Well done,
thank you,
sir. Well done.
Wow. That is high praise from y'all, and I appreciate that. So thank you. I feel much better now than
all right,
I did
David.
Earlier.
Yay.
Animal
so
kingdom.
Excited.
Animal are you?
I am. I'm always excited for y'all's ideas.
Oh, cool. Well, I got Animal Kingdom and I had to put a Universal Studio property within Animal Kingdom. And I'm sure if you guys are thinking right now, you're all thinking the same thing, that the one that fits the best is clearly Jurassic Park.
I was thinking
Were you?
I was thinking that, yes.
I mean, I think everybody is thinking that. But here's the thing. I'm sure everybody's thinking that Dinoland is the ideal place to put that, being as how there's a dinosaur ride and all that fun stuff like that. No. I already made that rise. That's gone. That's completely out of here. So what I'm going to do, and I'm not just doing a ride, I'm turning a whole land into a real life Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Rafiki's Planet Watch is going to be gone and it's about to get turned into the actual Jurassic Park. So what's going to happen is when you go to the train, which takes you into Rafiki's Planet Watch, that is now going to be an 8-seater Range Rover that everyone gets aboard, takes you from one station through the giant Jurassic Park gate into the next station. So you get two of the iconic scenes right there. You get the classic Range Rover and then you get the gate that, you know, everybody uses. What's really hard about this is Universal has already kind of crushed it with the feeling like you're at Jurassic Park, but you'll see in my big attraction what Animal Kingdom has that Universal doesn't. So once you arrive at what right now is like the Wildlife Experience train station, that's going to be turned into a life-size Jurassic Park visitor center, exactly like the movie. Full-size T-Rex skeleton, every single thing that makes you feel like you're in the actual visitor center from the movie of Jurassic Park. Now, right now, if you leave that, you walk back towards, it's like the Affection Station and the Conservation Station. So you're still going to walk down that path. But as you're walking down that path, bushes are going to shake and raptor noises are going to be kind of like off in the distance, but it's going to get your attention that like there's something going on in those bushes. So as you walk back to the affection station and conservation station, I'm going to turn those into the dinosaur discovery building and the dinosaur birthing area. So the dinosaur discovery building it's actually going to be like a fun hands-on educational stuff for kids to go in and dig a dinosaur bone up. Learn stuff about dinosaurs. I mean, what kid doesn't love dinosaurs? So that's going to be a very good stuff. And then the birthing center is going to use animatronics and special effects to recreate that scene in Jurassic Park of dinosaurs being born from the eggs and you seeing it holding a baby dinosaur. Everything that Disney can do with their Disney magic to completely make you feel like you're there. So as you leave, there's going to be another walking path. Now, behind all those areas is just open woods. That's part of the safari, is kind of off to the other side. And then there's woods off to one side. So when you leave, I'm going to add a walking path that leads you to another attraction. But as you're going down this walking path, the raptor noises are closer. The bushes are shaking more. It's a bit more, you feel the mood kind of change from this is fun and I'm learning stuff to things are getting kind of ominous. And I'm adding a whole new ride in that space behind Rafiki's where you have it. This is going to be called the Jurassic Park Gyrosphere Tour. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use what Animal Kingdom already has, which is real live animals and a lot of space to give you an outdoor experience attraction of a gyrosphere tour of Jurassic Park. We're going to make the ride vehicle look like the gyrosphere from Jurassic World. It's not going to actually be able to function. Maybe it can, Logan. I don't know. But at least give you the impression that you're in a big plastic bubble going through this dinosaur tour. We'll seat more than two people. We'll sit six or eight or what have you. But it's outside. There's going to be actual trees and real life animals that you can see mixed in with animatronic dinosaurs. I know there's a way to stage it to where the real life animals are safe and not affected by all of this. But to mix real life with the Disney magic of animatronic dinosaurs is going to be a really exciting experience in a big plastic bubble. As you further go along this ride, you're going to notice that a containment gate is broken. The ride, still outside, is going to pick up pace, and you're going to be chased by raptors. This can be a mix of animatronics and special effects, and that's Logan's job to figure out how we're going to do that.
I love how we always put everything on Logan. We're just like, dude, you figure this part out. We don't even know what's happening. We're going to the moon. I don't care.
It's his real job.
I know. I love it.
So your gyrosphere is going to pick up speed. You're going to feel as if you're going to be chased by raptors. And at the end, in the typical Jurassic Park scene, as they jump, we have a full-size T-Rex that catches them and saves the day. As your gyrosphere goes back into the docking station, and you can feel free to explore the rest of Jurassic Park.
Yes.
What encouraged me to use Jurassic Park is that Animal Kingdom has something that Universal doesn't, which is outdoor space. You can make this feel like you are on an island away from everybody else, as opposed to a concrete jungle where you're walking down a path and whatever. So my decision, reluctantly, was very predictable, Jurassic Park, but incorporating what Animal Kingdom has so much of, which is that real-life, tangible feel mixed with Disney magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm gonna jump in. I feel like you should go first, Logan, but I'm going to jump in real quick and say one of the first things you brought up, David, was saying that at Universal, they do a good job of that entry point of the Jurassic Park gate, which I do agree if you have horse blinders on is perfect, but the fact at the same time you can turn right 90 degrees and see the wizarding world and hear the music, I think for me takes everything away. So it's once you're through that gate and you get a little bit past and you do see the vehicle there at Universal, Islands of Adventure side.
Yeah.
You certainly do feel a little bit more like you're engaged, but they've got nothing on the space that Disney has, as you said. So the ability to get in that rover and actually go in and be separated from every other land and every other resort, building, everything you can think of. You know, again, I love Velocicoaster. It's incredible. Hi, Hulk. How you doing over there right across the water? I see you. You're a whole other area. There's Marvel Superhero Island. There's Seuss Landing. There's, you know, Toon Lagoon. I can see everything that's happening at any given moment, which works for Universal because that's the space they have, and they've got great rides. But they don't have, I think, the theming and that overall inclusive, I'm really on an island. I'm really in Jurassic Park or Jurassic World. And I think that's kind of what you created here. Something else, y'all done, you know, when the dinosaurs come to Jacksonville Zoo? Have you been there? Like, it's such a cool experience.
It's been a while, but yeah.
Yep.
I picture that, but on a Disney level. And I remember going, growing up and going to Durham, North Carolina, where my grandmother lived. And right around the corner, I was really, really young. There was some sort of weird dinosaur park. I don't think they were animatronics. I think they were all just like ceramic, or they were whatever. They were fixed dinosaurs, but you could walk through this area that separated you from everything. And as a kid, I remember seeing these dinosaurs. They may have made like noises, but I know they didn't move. But it gave me that feeling of going through, and Planet Watch has all these wonderful walking paths and secluded areas where you're right. You could easily go through and be like, I do it now. There's no dinosaur. I'm just like, what's in the bushes? Cause there's animals.
Right.
So I think to be able to combine all that. Yeah. And anything with the Jurassic World, like gyrosphere type ride things would be wonderful. That was already in my head when you were talking. I was like, is he going to bring that up? Cause that could make a heck of a ride right there.
So, you know, everything they do at Universal is enclosed in a built. I've never done Velocicoaster, but it doesn't feel, you know, that I remember seeing the first Jurassic Park, like in the theater, That scene where they're driving through this large, wide open field and there's just dinosaurs. Yeah. It was like awe inspiring.
Yeah.
And no one has ever made you feel that in any Jurassic Park ride, attraction, anything like that.
Yeah.
They have the space to do it. Disney has the space to put you in a giant field with, granted, there probably wouldn't be real life animals, but whatever, it'd be cool.
No, I mean, I don't see why you couldn't. I don't see why you couldn't have animatronics next to real life animals.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that'd be killer. And, you know, with the way they've designed Animal Kingdom and with so many, so much knowledge out there and involving zoos and the design of zoos and being able to create these blind spots where the guest doesn't see what's keeping animals from, you know, walking right up to you, but it's all there and the protections are there. The same thing could be done essentially with some of these animatronics, is they could be designed in such a way that you don't have to worry about the animals coming right up to them. But at the same time, if they're built to scale, if you actually build these animatronics to scale, then you actually have the capability where when birds go and sit on them, you don't have to worry about like some of the mountains that you see in Disney where it's like the bird ruins the entire illusion of the forest perspective. If they're built to scale, they are legit. Like that is how big that dinosaur really is to all these real animals. And as far as that experience alone, that would have a huge impact on, I think, both adults and children in giving you a real sense of scale and what it would have really felt like if these creatures still existed today. I mean, they would be massive. Now, not all of them, there were plenty of small ones, but yeah, to be able to create some of these massive iconic characters and then have them in animatronic form, even if they do minimal movements, still believable. They just got to look believable. And yeah, next to real animals, oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how practical it actually is, but I mean, just, I don't know how feasible a, you know, life-size Brontosaurus moving around is, but just the thought of it is, you know, inspiring. Yeah.
And I mean, the cool part is there's smaller versions too. Like you don't have to necessarily show the absolute tallest, sure. But at the same time, I mean, some of them, they were like 40 feet tall, which honestly, 40 feet tall is huge, huge for an animal, but for the sake of a theme park, 40 feet tall is not that tall.
Yeah.
Like in regards to buildings surrounding you and trees and things like that, like they can work with that for sure.
Well, and I think like River Adventure, you know, at Universal does a really good job of those animatronics. Now they're kind of outdated and their movements are a little junky, but I think the size, you know, you go through that by that Brontosaurus and it's like chest up because half of it's in the water.
Right.
I would never look at it and, you know, I would never go, well, wait a second. That's not to scale. Like you look at it like that thing is massive. And the T-Rex at the end before the drop and the raptors that are coming out of the cages, it does a really good job. And it does, you're right, it doesn't have to show all of it. And it doesn't even have to be the biggest one that there is. I think you can easily do it in a way, especially when they're poking out of, you know, bushes and trees, that gives it such a good and real feeling. But
and I think the scale too, if you're in the gyroscope, you want to take advantage of the fact that you're in a vehicle where the entire top is glass.
Yeah.
Yep. You want to have things that are towering over the vehicle as it passes by. So people have a reason to look up and really take advantage of this amazing view created by this gyroscope. It's like, you want to take advantage of that.
How often are you in an actual real life 360?
Right.
Like it's real. It's not a screen. I mean,
it'd be killer.
It'd be awesome.
Yesterday really I was, but other than that, it's been a while. It's been quite some time.
I mean, just sitting on the porch doesn't count.
Yeah. I hope I wouldn't. I feel like I would vomit. How would we do that? I want to see that ride system, actually. I think it sounds absolutely amazing.
I mean, couldn't you just have something like on a track that the actual glass
spins around and you're in like a.
But you're not actually like.
Or you just don't even worry about it.
Or it's just a big.
You don't worry about that line that just constantly breaks your view. Like, I say just nix that. The vehicle's moving. That's all you need to know.
I'm in a big plastic bubble.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, man, killer.
Well, Logan's got to go. Logan's got to go down the street here.
Oh, man. My turn. That's right. The show's not over.
This is tough, man. This is a tough one.
What I like to do is grind the show to a halt, everybody.
No. Outstanding. I think Logan is tough following what you and I had, David, because we killed.
Well, this, so you know, like what I was really excited about with this one is for one that I got Universal because we haven't done Universal yet on this show. We did Islands, but we haven't done Universal Studios.
Yeah,
so that was fun because there's a lot of attractions that we could work with over there. So that was a challenge in itself, just choosing what attraction I wanted. And then the other fun part was I got to work with the Disney IP. So that was really fun and challenging because there's so many great Disney IPs. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, I wanted to pick one that they'd already previously used in the parks. So that way the mashup makes sense in the sense where it's like, an IP that was used within a park. So there's something to kind of compare it to. So for my mashup, I used Universal's Men in Black Alien Attack Interactive Dark Ride with the Disney IP Lilo and Stitch.
Ooh.
Which I know Jeremy will enjoy this.
Oh boy. All right. I'm buckling
up. The World Expo at Universal Studios Florida is now rethemed as Little Hawaii and home to the attraction Lilo and Stitch Clone Catastrophe. The exterior of the attraction is now themed as the Galactic Alliance Community College, and the exterior queue features posters advertising all the extraterrestrial activities taking place on campus. Upon entering the GACC main building, guests are greeted by Lilo and Stitch on video monitors in the pre-show. So Lilo is now the Galactic Federation's ambassador to Earth, and Stitch is captain of the Galactic Armada. They welcome us into the community college and inform guests about all the amazing collaborations taking place between humans and aliens on their campus. Students at the GACC learn everything from Earth Studies 101 to Genetic Experimentation 626. We're notified that part of our tour today includes a special preview of their newest class, Galactic Defense Systems 321, being taught by not one, but two of the campus's esteemed instructors, Lilo and Stitch. So inside the queue, guests continue to walk through the college and pass by various interactive classroom doors and laboratories along the way. They even pass by a break room where Experiment 625, also known as Ruben, is creating one of his famous sandwich towers while talking via video phone with the very annoyed Gantu. At the end of the hallway, guests overlook the lecture hall, where animatronic versions of Jumba and Pleakley are standing in front of a large video screen broadcasting class information to their online students. The class they're teaching is Principles of Evil Scientists. And the doctor they're teaching about is the evil Dr. Hamsterville. Guests then move into the weapons room and finally the training facility where a GACC vehicle awaits. Guests load into the vehicles equipped with laser guns and proceed into the training room, blasting cardboard cutouts and crudely drawn evil aliens, just like Men in Black. Guests then compete against other players riding in a separate vehicle. So minutes after the training has begun, Lilo and Stitch inform the guests that the evil Dr. Hamsterville sent an entire ship full of horribly disfigured Stitch clones to Earth, and they crash landed in the middle of campus. The laser guns are now set to full power as guests must immediately take down the clone threat. All the mutated clones resemble Stitch and vary from large clones to small ones hiding in various spaces. Certain clones will even spit on you, causing the GACC vehicle to spin out of control. At one point, the vehicles enter the radiology laboratory and face each other as they pass on either side of a large X-ray scanner, and the scanner reveals that the opposing car is really full of Stitch clones, thus prompting a shootout between the paired vehicles. A glowing red light atop their vehicle causes the opposing vehicles to wildly spin out of control when shot. So Lilo and Stitch appear on a giant TV screen outside the college's Aloha Stadium and warn guests not to panic. But there's something really big around the corner. As the vehicle turns, we come face to face with a gigantic Stitch clone. This animatronic clone swallows us whole. The giant clone is immune to our laser guns, so Lilo and Stitch order us to press the big red button, also known as the BRB99999. And the first guest to press it gets 99,999 bonus points and sends both vehicles spinning out of control through fog and strobe flashes. And the experience ends with a belching sound as guests exit their training session and the two vehicles split off. Each vehicle is shown their scores as well as a one of three class rankings. Lilo and Stitch then congratulate everyone and thank us for taking a tour of the Galactic Alliance Community College. If you'd like to learn more about GACC and everything the campus has to offer, be sure to pick up a brochure in the campus store. And while you're there, buy a t-shirt or hoodie to represent your favorite intergalactic campus. The end.
Fun.
Yeah. I want the merch.
I took a lot of shortcuts here where I literally just took the ride as is and then just the mashup of just giving it the Lilo and Stitch twist. But this is the attraction I wish Disney would have done.
Yeah.
It's such an underused property. I mean, it's so popular. It's the things they can do with it. They can make all of Tomorrowland based on
yeah,
Lilo instead. I mean, it's so underused. And if you had a ride that gave that Buzz Lightyear feel,
yeah,
and you had, like, again, rewritability, we're talking about rewritability, why wouldn't you ride that 10 times to try to win? Or phenomenal and just fun, just so much fun.
Yeah.
And Men in Black is just such a great interactive dark ride to begin with. But, you know, to give it that sort of, it's to give it that Lilo and Stitch twist that would make it honestly a little more kid friendly, still sure. fun, still super fun, but not as scary.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. And I think it would just be, it's what they should have done with the IP. And I know they've done multiple Stitch experiences. They have the Stitch Encounter. I mean, I went to Hong Kong Disneyland and they had the talking Stitch, just like Crush at Epcot, you know, and so that was a hilarious experience in itself, where none of the people attending the show, either they didn't realize they were in the English speaking show, and so they didn't know anything that was being said, or they just completely did not understand that they were supposed to be talking back to the screen. Yeah. The only people they could get to communicate were me and my wife. So like literally we became the show, is like us and the person, you know, the Oz talking behind the Stitch kind of thing. And then of course we've got the alien encounter that was turned into Stitch's Escape?
Yep.
Stitch's Great Escape. So,
but even that, yeah. like, we took, I think Emma was 3 or 4 when we took her on it, and not scary for adults anymore, but for a kid,
that's scary. That's
terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
That's what you don't want. You don't want Stitch to be like that. No. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was really terrifying as Alien Encounter. That, holy Jesus.
That scared me.
Yeah. That was terrifying. Especially for the age I was when it came out. But yeah, it's like, why would you take a scare attraction and just give it Stitch? Now, I will say, I mean, Stitch Great Escape, that is a cute show.
Yeah,
I'm in no way, you know, talking negative about it. I really enjoy that show. But yeah, I'm not going to take my 4-year-old on it. And guess what? My 4-year-old is the one who loves that product. Yeah. Like, young kids love Lilo and Stitch just as much as a lot of the adults do, who, you know, buy all the Stitch dolls.
Her name Jeremy. And
Rhonda. Yeah. Get tattoos.
Name their dogs after get tattoos.
Well, again, what I love is, you know, Men in Black has the exact frustration of Space Ranger Spin.
Yes.
But it's still fun, where I don't think Space Ranger Spin is fun. I don't think it's fun. Yeah. I'm so frustrated by not knowing any idea where I'm shooting or how I'm getting points that I don't enjoy the ride. But Men in Black, I still enjoy, even though I don't know what's happening or where I'm shooting. And so, yeah. So for you to be able to take it and put it in one of my favorite IPs ever, is just outstanding. I think, you know, I'd maybe go back to like David's, what was it, the 6-bar Tomorrowland spinny Carousel of Progress. Other than that, I think this is one of the out of the box awards, Logan, because really? I wouldn't have guessed in a million years, like, bringing Lilo and Stitch into, you know, Universal Studios and this property specifically. I didn't know where you were going, even when you kind of hinted like I was going to love it. So I think you did a wonderful, wonderful job. And you do, as always, you paint such a great picture of going through the ride. And for people that have been on Men in Black, I can picture every moment of what we're going through, down to the spinning, down to the giant end, you know, kind of clone Stitch and going into his mouth and all of that. I would take this. I mean, I would walk through the queue, and even if they were like, you can't ride, I'd be like, cool, I had the best time ever. Because all of that just sounds wonderful, because I'm such a big Lilo and Stitch fan, and I think it's such a fun property that, you know, I think a lot of people think there was Lilo and Stitch, the movie, and that was it.
Yeah.
There are 3 to 4 full-length movies. There's an entire animated series.
Yep.
Like, there's so much you could do with this property, and it's, I feel like it's so beloved, and it's so good. And, you know, if we had known Lacey's personality when she was born, we would have named her Lilo. Like, I love Lilo's do not give a F attitude, you know, as just a young female, and just all of that. Like, just, it is, it's one of the best ever. I just want more of it. And we get almost none of it, as you said. And I think that's disappointing. So I think this is a perfect fit in the way you put it in. The galactic side of it. I love this galactic side of it, which is such a part of it.
And so much of it was inspired, and you could even say borrowed from Leroy and Stitch.
Yes, yes.
So that was huge inspiration for the story and the twist and how we're at the community college and what we're doing there. And I love the idea of going inside this community college. I just find that hilarious where you've got these aliens teaching, and especially teaching humans about Earth studies, which is quite hilarious. And it's cool too, because if you did something like that, you could even then retheme the Fear Factor Live stage area. You can make that the Aloha Stadium. So then kind of makes sense why you're outside of the Aloha Stadium inside the attraction, which is taking place all on campus. And so it makes that connection as well.
I want all of our ideas.
We all did really good.
This is a good one. This is fun. This was a blast. This was an absolute blast.
I wasn't looking forward to it, but I'm glad it turned out much better.
You say that every time.
Now, do we want to do the shuffle now to find out who gets what next week?
Let's do the hat. Just careful how you
shake
it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, careful the sound that it makes when you shake it.
The hat. I don't know if you hear that.
With paper, everyone.
Yes, that is a hat with paper.
Nothing inappropriate is happening.
Correct. That is just a hat.
So, all right. Who wants to be pulled first?
David does.
Always.
Okay. So, David. I'm jealous. Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
Oh,
one I really wanted.
But you got like 8,000 rides to deal with. That's pretty good.
All right. Jeremy, you want to go next or you want me to go next?
You go next.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take the last.
Apparently Universal is what I'm meant to do this time around, because Universal's Islands of Adventure. So there you go. So, Jeremy, with the only thing that's left, you are going to Hollywood Studios, my friend.
All right.
So there you go.
Now I feel bad.
Again,
I feel like
I am working with a Universal Park and a Disney IP, where David and Jeremy will be working with Disney parks and Universal IPs.
All right.
Fun.
You can do that.
I already have an idea of what I'm going to do, and it's going to rock theme park shuffle to its core.
I'm a little jealous, David, because I really wanted Magic Kingdom, because I already knew exactly what I was going to do for it. So,
well, David,
now I gotta really think.
David, if you have an idea now, then we should record in 5 minutes, because that's normally right. How far in advance you come up with them? Is that right?
An idea is not a. I could probably make up something on the fly if you guys really feel like doing it.
I know you could.
If you really feel like doing it.
No. Well,
that would be something.
That would be something.
We can do that. We can do the grind right now.
Oh boy,
we need to do a show like that one time where we don't get prep.
No,
we will. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. No, I honestly I feel bad, Logan, because I was going to say, well, if I go next, I'm going to get Islands of Adventure. And that's what came out. So I was like, oh man. So I feel bad now. Maybe we can work out side barter.
No. I'm excited. Cause I mean, you know, I've worked with Marvel Superhero Island multiple times now.
Yeah, that's true.
I've worked with obviously Jurassic Park. Yep. So I'm excited to explore outside those lands and come up with something that is definitely Disney, and I know exactly what IP I'm going to work with, and I'm going to make it work.
I love
it. I'm excited now that I know what I'm doing.
I hope it's Lilo and Stitch again.
So for this one, I'm going to use an IP that has not been represented in a park.
Okay.
So now I'm super excited.
Teaser, yeah. Everybody.
That's right. Disney IP not used in a park. Game on.
That's the hardest one. You know what I almost went with? I think it was Apollo 13 Universal?
No clue.
Property?
I think
it may have been.
No,
but I thought that one was the easiest of all to just put that in Mission Space. Like, I literally could have been like, I'm going to put Apollo 13 in Mission Space. David, you're
going to change the sign out front. The end. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, seriously. Like, that would be it. It would be a 3-second presentation. But,
yeah.
Man. No, this was fun. This was an absolute blast. Thank you guys. Logan's got to close it out, man. He's the host with the most of this one.
Oh man, I always forget the closing comments and stuff.
Don't forget the like, review, subscribe, mm-hmm. yada yada.
That's right. Everything that David just said and Jeremy.
Put it perfectly.
So, thank you for listening to Theme Park Shuffle. And if you want to hear more from us, if you want to possibly even in the future see some YouTube content or something like that, go subscribe, rate and review, because it's your feedback that drives us to continue doing more. So thank you again for listening. Thank you for all the support. Theme Park Shuffle, Google it. You'll find us. Go to the Main Street Magic website. We are on there as well. Available Apple, Google, other things. All your podcast platforms. And that's a wrap.